Good evening, associates. Full disclosure, we are here to talk about Suits. It's here, it's loud, it's live, it's next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
And we're doing it. Shoulders.
Am I doing it right?
You're doing it.
Okay. It's happening.
It's the vestige from an old managing partner. Before any of our times, it's like a Van Dyke. It's like a Schmidt.
Can we add some bounce in it or not?
Shimmies are fine. Shimmies and whatever. Hello, everyone. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's coverage of Suits, Season 7, Episode 7, Full Disclosure. I'm your host, Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter, at Steve Kaufman. That's K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. We are not full strength tonight, but we are far from zero strength. I don't know where I was going with
that
analogy.
We've got Team Darby here.
We are Team Darby here.
Yes, we are Team Darby.
Lynn and Orr is joining us tonight. Where can they find you on Twitter?
Hey, everyone. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, all over the social web, at Lynn and Orr. And I'm so glad to be back.
I'm glad to have you back. It's great. It's great everyone's here. We're doing the things. We have a lot to talk about. There was one flashback in this episode, but I broke it into four parts.
Awesome.
So where we're going to start is the Harvey Lewis, Jessica Hartman thing that's been alluded to. We're seeing the fallout in this flashback versus in the past we would just see the actual flashback. And I always remember when I'm reminded of the Hartman of it all, I'm reminded like, oh, Harvey's not a terrible person for disliking Lewis for as long as he did. Like, that was rough.
Yeah, and it's crazy because Lewis's character, in the last couple of years, he's been such an ego-driven, like, negative person. Even when he deals with the associates, he's always lashing out and making such, like, negative comments. But then we see a whole worse side to him.
Yeah.
It's almost like the new Lewis Litt isn't as bad as the one from 6 years ago. Like, he was terrible.
Well, we saw the pre-therapy Lewis Litt here. That
Dr. Lifshitz deserves an award.
I have a lot of things to say about Dr. Lifshitz when we get there. I enjoyed this part of the flashback, that it gives you a lot of context into Lewis kind of screwing over Harvey. And that Harvey kind of being a little combative with Jessica. A little combative with this place, and then Jessica running her house, and we get more Jessica, which we're all very happy about.
I think it's amazing we're getting so much Jessica. I felt like last season when she was leaving, I was like, oh my god, she's done. Like, what are we going to do without Jessica? And then we've had her pretty much every single episode.
I
feel like this episode was the most, for sure.
Do we think this was the plan, though? That they were like, okay, she'll leave, she'll go on a TV show. If the TV show goes, we'll never have her back. If the TV show doesn't go, Harvey can hop on a plane to Chicago and see her. We can flash back. We're planning on flashing back to some big part of the fallout of the Hartman senior partner part that we never got to. Like, I think this was kind of already their plan. Like, we can let her go, and if she comes back, we can still use her. But if she does not come back, we can still. Although I guess we wouldn't have flashbacks this season.
I feel
they'd find a way to tell us that story without flashbacks.
Well, actually, today I was thinking to myself that we've been getting so much Jessica, even though they said she's going to be gone. So my whole thought process was the season prior, it ended with, you know, Mike Ross going to jail.
Yeah.
And then he got out. So I kind of feel like the showrunners are like, how can we possibly top him going to jail? Because we're like 7 seasons in. So that's a lot of.
Yeah.
That's a lot of storyline you have to go through. So I know that she did get a part of, you know, she's a part of another show now, but I feel like it was more so they were trying to find something so drastic to shake the episode at the last season finale. And then they kind of like are giving us back to her little by little. And I'm not complaining. I don't know what Suits is without Jessica. I mean, I really love Jessica. I love her storyline, but I definitely think that they always maybe intended to have her back on some level, but they just wanted to kind of shake it up.
Well,
season 7.
And what we learned last week is they have her back completely. They're working on a Jessica spinoff now.
Oh, wow.
That we're all really excited for. And that would be a perfect place for her because she had to leave the show. And I these people are really smart that I feel like that's built in.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jessica and Lewis kind of running roughshod over the associates, we finally see the origin of Dr. Lifshitz.
I love him. He's, like, honestly the best. He, like, walked in. I mean, imagine someone walks in, and the first thing they say to you is, oh, you're some Nazi just because he's speaking German. Like, that's such an ignorant comment to make, and I get he's a therapist, so he's probably used to ignorant people left and right. But he was still like, just give me 2 minutes. Mm. And then if you want to leave, then you can leave. I was like,
that was super extreme. And I liked it.
I liked it.
I like, because that's so Lewis, just that super, just like pure, like pure first impression. Nope, that's what you are. And it with Lewis, it always boils back to Harvey. And I just love how Dr. Lipschitz figured that out in less than one session, really, to just, oh, you filter your who you are versus who you want to be directly through a person you see every day.
Yeah. And I think so what he, it's funny because I actually wrote this down because I thought it was so interesting on the episodes on the after show that I have been here. I've always talked about how much ego there is with all the characters. And he said, if you can have respect from one person, like who's the respect that you want it from, that you want it the most? And he said, Harvey. And then Dr. Lipschitz said, no matter what I, you know, because
yeah.
Lewis Litt said, no matter what I do, no one respects me. And he said that if you don't respect yourself, you're actually projecting that and looking for people to disrespect you. And it's such an interesting thing. And it's, you know, Lewis is kind of like, what? And then he walked out like, this is the worst idea ever. Uh-huh. And then, of course, he calls me. He's like, hey, are you available 5 days a week? Is that too much?
That is funny. That he's just, no, I have problems.
He's like, let's start with just Monday. Let's just start with Monday.
I've made this prediction before, so I'll say it now. I don't think Dr. Lipschitz survives this season. I think they're setting him up specifically for Lewis to have to try to literally deal with moving on. That we saw Lewis pre-therapy, the whole show we've seen him technically post-therapy, that now we're eventually going to have to see him have to move on from not having Dr. Lipschitz with him.
I remember you gave that prediction, like, I think it was like the first after show or the second after yep. show. And I'm not going to lie, especially after watching today's episode, where they're pretty much going back in time and showing us the progress of Lewis Litt from like point A to like now. And it pretty much all of his progression, or not all, because obviously Lewis is credited for his progression, but a lot of the direction has been because of a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they are going into that backstory because there is something that's going to end up happening where he's not going to have him to fall back on. I mean, I'm hoping he's not going to die. Is that what you're saying?
He might retire.
Yeah, so I... Yeah.
He doesn't have to die. Like, not everyone has to die. It's a show about... Like,
but I feel like because Lewis isn't going to let him retire, he's going to go stalk him and, like, show up to his house. But I do agree that they're going to kind of pull him out of the storyline, and that's why they're putting so much emphasis on him in the last couple episodes, is to show, like, that he is the reason why Lewis has been able to mm-hmm. progress so much. But in order for him to reach the point that he needs to, we need to take him out and yeah. see kind of, like, what's going to happen when he's in the water.
Yeah, but progress isn't...
Do you think he's going to sink or swim?
Well, I think because he sank so much this season that he's probably going to swim because he's had some breakthroughs. We'll get more into predictions.
He's way better than he used to be, though. Oh my God. He's yes. terrible.
Next up, we're going to talk about Donna, Mark, and Harvey. Mark, we finally get to see Mark. It was their six-month anniversary. And they had a six-month anniversary dinner, and she brought up Harvey within minutes.
Yeah, I believe he said, I feel like Harvey is our invisible partner in our relationship.
Yep. And I think that kind of explains Donna's relationship to Harvey very, very much. That just she's professionally and personally just intertwined with him. And that's a real rough thing to get into.
I feel like in that actual moment where they're at dinner and he's kind of like, give me an answer on if it's because of Harvey you don't want to leave, or you actually don't want to leave because you like, I think mm-hmm. at the time it's called Pearson Hartman.
Yeah.
That was the name of the firm at the time. Her face kind of said it all. And it actually made me feel like that she didn't maybe even realize how she felt about Harvey until that moment. Because you kind of see like her eyes get like super teared up. It's crazy though.
Yeah. It's.
I feel like that was the moment that maybe she actually realized. Maybe she knew kind of like in the back of her head she always had feelings for Harvey, but I feel like that was the moment.
I think that was the moment she knew she would have said yes if he had asked. And she wasn't upset that he was making that choice. She was upset that he didn't ask. So they had that brief moment of just like, I should have asked.
Yeah.
She would have said yes.
My favorite part of that whole scene is where she walks into Harvey's office and she's like, Harvey, I need the night off. I'm going to go. It's my 6 month anniversary. He's like, I never thought you'd be one of those people that like celebrates your kid's third grade graduation.
I mean, that third grade's a pretty big one.
It's a very big one.
Addition and subtraction, like that's huge.
I think 6 months is a good. That's a good mark.
I think 6 months is a great mark. I think it sets a really bad precedent that you're gonna have to remember holes and halves.
No, I feel like it goes...
6 months is a half a year. So if you celebrate a 6 month and then you celebrate a year, you're kind of setting a precedent that you then have to celebrate every half year and whole year. And that's just, that's too much to keep. Like, without thinking about it, what's the date of your half birthday?
I have no idea.
Exactly. That's how I feel. But if it's your first 6 months, that's something to celebrate. But you are setting up a precedent where you then have to celebrate every half and whole.
Well, my thoughts on it, ladies or December gentlemen 2nd. At home, if you guys, you do know your half?
It's in my calendar because it's something I've never actually celebrated, but I want to start celebrating.
Well, so everybody at home, tell us if you guys think that 6 months is worth celebrating. I just feel like if you celebrate 6 months, that doesn't mean you're going to celebrate 1.5, 2.5, 3.5. It just is kind of like, I feel like at 6 months, you've decided if this is going to be a long-term relationship.
At six months, you
could be in a relationship, but it's more like casual. If you're not even considering like the slightest bit that you might have a future with this person, you should just part ways. So
I do agree. The first 6 months are very much a milestone of if you've lasted this long, you probably like this person.
Yeah.
Because most things don't last like 100 days.
Yeah, and it was interesting because she does have such a strong relationship with Harvey even back then. And even Lewis goes, when he got mad that she changed a court date, in the 6 years.
He said
years.
Work husband.
Yeah, he's like, how's your work, like, where's your work husband? I was like, oh, everybody notices.
Although I think that's a very popular term now.
Is it?
That girls have work husbands. Let us know in the comments. I've heard that said a lot in the last, like, 15 months.
But what does that mean?
That, like, you have a bae, like... The girls will just have, like, a guy who's their everything, but at work. Like, they never hang out outside or talk outside of work, but they just have, like, they have a bae, a work bae. Okay, never mind.
No, I've heard of it, but, I mean, I haven't heard of it, but it makes sense.
I've heard that. I'm pretty sure if you do hashtag work husband, you'll find a lot of references to this phenomenon.
That's like a guy's nightmare, isn't it? Like, you get all the expectations and responsibilities, but not even like the perks of actually dating the chick. I feel like that's a guy's nightmare.
I feel like part of what I'm missing is they might all be gay men.
Oh, okay.
Or they might be typically might be gay men as well. Don't hold me to that.
Sometimes they're just taken as well. Like,
yeah,
the men are just taken as well, and they just, you know, are fond of a girl at work, but they're not. They just have a friendly relationship.
That's like emotional cheating, though.
No, it's platonic. No, it's just like having a buddy at work, but like she happens to be a girl, and it would be like, that's my work wife kind of thing. Like, we always hang out at work. We always eat together. We try to take our lunch together, but we're not actually romantically invested. We just work on that level well.
Yeah, that's...
I'm not speaking on behalf of all women, but I'm sure if there was women at home knowing that their husbands were sharing their lunches with a woman and enjoying their time and not getting that friendship from their husband and another woman's getting it, I don't think they'd be too fond of it. Unless they're off doing their own thing too and they don't care.
Well, it's from a platonic place. Also, if either of them got fired or promoted, that would also break their relationship.
You also need to be mentally stimulated. So is it platonic? Because maybe you're not getting that mental stimulation at home.
Oof.
And that friendship. I feel like in a relationship, just as much as like, you know, sexual and physical, there's also mental and friendship. So if you're getting 50% elsewhere, I don't know. Anyways, we should get back to Darby.
I'm kind of on your side because we're both Team Darby and we both think...
High five. Team Darby.
We both think at the end of the day, those two are going to be great together.
Absolutely.
But like literally at the end of the series...
They gotta give it to us like a little bit sooner.
No, and the We keep saying that, and then we also keep saying like, oh, the fake lawyer show. He's gonna stay a fake lawyer, and that didn't happen. That stopped too. But speaking of Harvey, we should move on to the flashback part and then the Mike part of the meat of this episode that I kind of broke into two. Let's start with the flashback part where Harvey and Alex are friends.
Yeah,
and. Alex works at Bratton Gould. Harvey feels slighted by Jessica two times, so much so that he takes his friend Alex up on an offer to become one of two junior partners at Bratton Gould, which was what he was about to do with Lewis, and then it all failed. And he gave Jessica multiple opportunities to say something, and she didn't, and Alex stuck his neck out to specifically say, I'm doing this, it's happening. You have my word. I have his word. And then Jessica apologized and Harvey went back on his word. and screwed over, and pretty much screwed over Alex for what seems like years.
It's actually, you know, there's that Steve Jobs quote, may he rest in peace. It says that you can never connect the dots looking forward, but you can connect them looking back. It was that exact moment where Hartman screwed over Harvey and Lewis Litt was trying to stick it to him, where like everything ricocheted after that. If it wasn't for that, Harvey wouldn't have gone looking for to be a junior partner somewhere else. He wouldn't have come across Alex. Alex wouldn't have gone into the doghouse and worked 90 hours a week and then have to work his way back up to get stuck into a case that he pretty much gets framed for. His bonuses, everything gets tied to like this guy's murder that was trying to like break the whole thing out. And now his whole life is over, and it's all because he got screwed over with Hartman and Lewis Litt took junior partner by himself.
I mean, Harvey went back on his word. Like,
no, yeah, of course. I'm not saying, like...
I know.
It was like the seed that got planted, and then it grew.
A well-written character, as they all are, we're all going to be on the side of Harvey, where we're like, well, Harvey... Because that's the point of a well-written character. But at the same time, I'm like, Harvey went back on his word, and that's ultimately what screwed over Alex.
Actually, we could blame Dr. Lifshitz, because if he didn't have that appointment with Lewis... Lewis wouldn't have come back to Jessica, like, pleading to her, like, make sure he doesn't leave. Because Jessica looked like she was going to let him go. I remember she came in the office. It's a joke. We're not going to blame Dr. Lifshitz. We love him.
Well, we should... I think we could kind of blame Jessica then. Because she could have gotten Lewis to Dr. Lifshitz a day early. And then Lewis could have had the breakthrough to keep Harvey.
So where does it begin and where does it end? It's a joke. Yeah, it's a domino effect.
We can just blame Hartman, though. Because he's not there.
And we just don't like Hartman.
Yeah, like, we're not supposed to.
When all else fails, we blame Hartman.
Perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
That's an easy way to do it. It's also a lot of Lewis's fault, though. But it's ultimately Harvey's fault, going back on his word with Alex. Alex was in this terrible place, and I love this show. Even in this tiny piece of Alex, they gave us a very much altruistic dilemma.
Yeah.
Which is, the only way for him to do right by the situation, Alex, is to admit... Not necessarily anything, but to even in a, like, he's binded in a way that the only way to do right by the situation is to go down for the situation. The situation he had no personal fault in. And like, he can't unkill the people.
I actually thought when I first heard the situation that Alex maybe had done something shady, but he didn't. He was kind of like a scapegoat. But what he did obviously do that was shady is that he knows that he's responsible for someone's death. And I understand that he's thinking about his daughter and, like, putting her first. But he knows that a guard got killed because a guard was trying to, like, stop this. And how many people are getting killed? So it's like you're trying to give your daughter a better life. And listen, I don't know what it would be like if I had a child. I know that you want to put them first. But he had to have known the truth is going to come out. Like, do people not know by now that the truth always comes out no matter what?
I mean, I think – but also on a pure – altruism's the wrong way to put it, but on pure zeros and ones, that might take 20 years. So his daughter might be an adult and actually grown, and then he can solely take responsibility for what happened.
But how many people in those 20 years are going to die as a result of him? He could have been a better role model to his daughter, explain the situation, because really, he wasn't at fault, and he could have possibly proven at that time that he was framed. Now he just looks like he's been colluding and then keeps telling more people, and more people are getting involved.
The only other, now he wouldn't have been able to prove that he was framed. Like, it was framed in such a way that it was all, like, it would have always come down on paper as him as the fall guy, because he was the perfect fall guy. They had groomed him for years, it sounds like, to be the fall guy. The only way he could have gotten out of it was if he literally stopped being a lawyer altogether.
Yeah.
But that's, like, one of the, like, he would have to go back to school and become a doctor. Or become a White House aide? I'm sorry. Like, he would have to literally switch professions, and even then, he would have to hope no one else looked into this. No Mike Rosses would ever look into the situation.
Yeah.
To uncover a giant conspiracy. So it sucks all around.
It does, but one thing I did love about this flashback is that it answered a huge question for me. So Harvey's always been very diehard with Mike Ross, but Mike Ross is kind of like his protege, how Jessica, which... I found out this episode pretty much took Harvey from the mailroom, paid for his law school, and kind of like raised him. So that's kind of how Harvey has been with Mike. So what I liked about this flashback is I kept wondering, like, what is this loyalty that Harvey has for Alex? like knowing that he's gotten his hands into like something so deep, you just see Harvey backing him up. And then I'm like, oh, because he promised him that he backed on his word last time that he would never do it again. And that when Alex came calling, he would be there for mm-hmm. him.
And ultimately by Harvey backing out on his word last time, he did put Alex in this position.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of how can everyone win? And what's sad for Michael Reyes's family is those are the people who aren't going to win in this situation, because it looks like Mike has to drop this.
I have a question for you. Something about what Michael Reyes said. So in the scene where he comes and he confronts Mike Ross about the case being they're thrown off the case. Mm-hmm. So pretty much the case being thrown out. He's like, now I have no money. You know, I have two other kids. And then Mike Ross is like, but I thought you were doing this to get, to kind of like make sure this doesn't happen to anybody else. And he was like, yeah, but I don't even have that. And now I don't have the money. Do you think it's fair what he said?
Yeah, I think it's very fair. Like, let's be real. If you were wronged so bad today that you lost someone forever today, nothing's going to make you whole.
Yeah.
But let's say you're the next of kin to that person, and that person got hit by a bus, and the bus company, 8 months from now, realistically, after they actually settle, gave you $800,000. That's not going to make up for that person.
Yeah.
But would you give up that $800,000 for a chance? For a chance that might not happen to another person?
I think...
If Mike Ross were convincing you.
That's true.
If Mike Ross were saying, like, this is every bus in America.
And he's so like, I promise you we're going to win this.
Like, I promise you we're going to win this. Every bus in America is running 5 minutes too fast. They're undercutting the American taxpayer. And 10 people die a week.
I think...
That's drastic, I know,
but... not just the bus, because... You know, I can't imagine how much a bus company is worth, but with such a large corporation, it kind of seemed like chump change what he was getting paid off. Like, yeah, I would maybe feel like this is all my son was worth. Like, if I would have settled, it's not that about the money. It's not about me making more money. I would want enough for it to hurt them, like financially, like to know there was a clear dent in your financials. So you'll think twice. You're like, okay, if I lost... Let's just say that if he had lost $20 million, he's like, mm-hmm. I'm definitely not going to do that again. It's not worth losing $20 million. But from the way they made it sound, like on the check, it was like something good for one person and a family, but not something that's like so...
But
like,
they also did a good job in this show of clarifying, without saying a number, 800,000 seemed like a relative number, but like without saying, wait, this is the settlement number?
It's like too high. It's like something you want
to
hide.
Yeah, like they were saying, like, this settlement number, this is a goal, this is a stop barking up this tree number.
I think we can't answer this question correctly without, God forbid, like, knock on wood, having, like, actually lost someone in our family.
That too.
To know, like, what we're thinking, because maybe he's been so grief-stricken, his family has been, that he can't focus at work, and maybe he needs that money.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't want his kids to end up in prison. I mean, we were stealing TVs, right? Or what was his son stealing?
I think it was stealing TV. It wasn't anything that major. Like,
yeah.
More than anything that major in prison, we can get into the philosophy of what a prison is versus what it should be, what it could effectively be. That's a whole TED talk. But like the generality is like a lot of people go into prison and then wind up way worse than when wind up coming out way worse.
Well, we have more people in America incarcerated than anywhere in the world. I mean, it's obviously a business. So I like the fact that Suits is kind of like bringing this topic in. It's almost kind of like, there's other shows, like if you watch Homeland, they're always taking like a relevant topic and like putting it in the show. So I feel like I'm actually glad this was a case on this episode.
This is the 10 episode arc case. And they kind of dealt with the prison system last summer too, when Mike was in a prison.
Yeah.
And Danbury, they've established before that Danbury's a public prison, a publicly funded prison and publicly run prison versus all the other prisons they're talking about that are privately funded through Reform Corp.
Yeah.
Okay, this part gets complicated. Mike goes to Anita Gibbs, says, I have a case against Reform Corp, but it's not through anything within Masterson Construction, because Masterson Construction is a client of Mike's.
Yeah.
Mike then, through Frank Gallo and Benjamin, happy to see Benjamin again, finds information that they can then redact and then bring back to Anita Gibbs that is directly towards Reform Corp, but ultimately shows a conspiracy between two Fortune 500 companies. But by that point, Harvey signs Reform Corp.
Pulls a fast one.
Signs Reform Corp to protect Alex, and then Alex tells Mike the whole story. I think I just summed that up in two sentences. I think
that was actually a pretty good summation.
I also love the scene where Alex straight up told Mike.
That was so ballsy, though.
But he didn't.
Harvey said, don't tell him, you're literally going to give him a map. Like, right now, Mike is like a pirate, like on the chase for like Never Neverland. And here comes Alex just giving him the whole entire map.
But to be fair, I think Alex has enough respect for Mike to know Mike's going to find this anyway. I need to tell him why he needs to stop looking.
He wants to jump on the front of it to control it.
Alex is getting out in front of it because there's no other way. Mike will figure all of this out.
He found out on one day. Remember, even Rachel is telling Harvey, she's like, I'm sure he's found out more from this morning.
Sure.
He's a shark.
Yeah, I'm sure he went to Gallo at Danbury and found out a bunch that got him to Benjamin, who gave him everything.
I can't believe he's working with Gallo, though. Like, the guy tried to kill you.
The Gallo stuff doesn't sit right with me yet,
right? From what I have seen in the episode, she has no idea that Mike is talking to
Jessica. No. Are you talking about Rachel?
Sorry, Rachel. She would lose her mind.
Yeah, Rachel does not know. And Harvey even told him, like, how long do you work with Gallo before he calls Rachel? Something he knows he can do. I'm not a fan of this Gallo business.
I'm not either, and Harvey knows it's so serious that he even said, you're going to drop the case, you're going to have nothing to do with it, and I will send a check for what you promised him, which is like $500,000.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually $1 million. He said he was going to give half of them up front.
Yeah. It's pretty serious.
Yeah.
This Masterson case is really serious. Because we know Mike can't let it go.
I think Mike is getting in over his head with this case.
He's not in over his head. If he completely disregards Alex and his family, Mike could solve this in one court.
And Harvey. Harvey's now an accessory. Harvey's aware of everything. I don't know if accessory is the right terminology, but he's... Remember when Alex was telling him, he's like, I'd rather not tell you because now you're going to be a part of it?
Yeah.
So Harvey's now a part of it. There's even him taking on Reform Corp.
For Mike to bark up this tree, he would literally have to quit. And even then, if he quit, it would be hard to prove. It would be hard to prove the information he got wasn't while he was at the firm that was Reform Corp's lawyer at the time.
So you know what's interesting is the position that Mike is in right now, right? So he keeps telling Rachel, he's like, I have to do this case. I was in prison myself. Imagine all those people that are getting extra time. Imagine if I got extra time. So here on the left side, there's a bunch of strangers that he could save getting extra time. And then he has Alex, who he knows... who he's heard his story, pretty much got framed. And either way he goes, he's either helping people he doesn't know get less time or he's going to put someone in jail that he actually knows. So it's like on either side, he's responsible for people being in jail.
Pretty much.
That's like a shitty situation to be in.
Mike finds those.
Yeah.
What
would you do, honestly?
If I were Mike right this second?
If you were Mike this second, you heard what I said. You're going to help a bunch of strangers. And it's a hypothetical, well, remember?
It's not... especially with Mike Ross, it's not binary. These episodes do a great job of proposing something like this to us at the end of the episode as completely binary, as Mike either helps a bunch of strangers and screws over Alex, or helps Alex and a bunch of strangers and screws over a bunch of strangers.
And you forgot the key point. Alex said, my daughter's going to grow up without a father in her life, and Mike lost both of his parents. So they're really like, they're hitting the targets with him.
I know, but it's not going to be binary.
But I'm saying if it were Harvey,
it would have to be, but it's not. Like, next week, Mike's going to find a middle ground.
He's, like, sitting on the couch like this.
Like, Mike's going to find a way for Oliver to come in and... Mike's going to find a way for Oliver to come in and prosecute it in such a way where Alex is exonerated, or...
You just said earlier you don't know how he could get exonerated.
Anita Gibbs could give Alex immunity. Because it's a criminal case.
She could, but I think they would have to drop both cases, though. Think about it.
What do you mean? There are currently no cases on the docket.
No, I mean, they can't represent them anymore. So either Alex would have to completely quit. It's a conflict of interest. Alex can't give information to Anita when he's still representing them. Anything he gives would be admissible in court. That's what they've been saying, like, all episode.
Correct me if I'm wrong, chat.
I mean, I don't know, but that's what Anita was saying.
Hear me out, because what they're presenting us with is a binary choice.
Yeah.
One or the other. I'm trying my best to find a middle ground where both parties get what they want. Not the way you could approach it is through Alex getting immunity. Anita Gibbs has the power to give Alex immunity. Alex needs to inform in such a way that Anita Gibbs, his testimony is good enough for Anita Gibbs, but private enough that none of his clients know.
But Anita Gibbs, I'm just going based off what happened in the episode. All she kept saying to Mike Ross is, if you have any association with Reform Corp, don't bring me any paperwork or don't bring me anything. Take the case, bye.
I know.
So he gets her information and then Harvey picks him up. So if Alex has been representing...
I agree. If Alex is a part of Pearson Spector Lit, which is representing both Masterson and Reform Corp, it's muddy. I'm leaving the window open right now.
If I was Alex, I would quit. If that meant I had immunity and I didn't, like, I could sleep at night knowing that people weren't dying because of me, I would leave law.
But you think you would have to leave law?
I would think so. He can't represent either one of the firms. He has insider information.
But he could quit Pearson Spector Lit.
But he still has...
Get immunity... The case will probably get settled, so he'll never actually have to testify in open court and then go to another firm. That's possible. Like I said, so the show does a good job of giving us binary choices when there aren't binary choices. You can find a middle
ground.
So
the ultimate goal is that it's not going to be a criminal case anymore. It's going to be like another class action. They're going to settle. Or if it's criminal.
No, the goal is for a criminal case, but Alex's immunity from criminality.
Okay.
But also in as private as you could possibly do that. The only way I think is if Anita Gibbs comes to Masterson and Reform Corp and says, I have Alex, who, by the way, is no longer your attorney. He is flipping completely, and I'm giving him immunity for flipping on me. We can go to trial. And yes, he will destroy his law career by testifying publicly that he was likely a fall guy, but here's the documents I have. Or you can plead guilty, and he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that, and he probably still gets to have a career, and you guys get to be guilty.
But he also signed that paperwork and gave it to his previous firm saying that he takes all responsibility for what happened.
That's what the immunity's for. In this crazy theory I'm working on right now, that he seems like the best.
It's a pretty sticky situation. I don't know how they're going to do
it. Mike and Harvey's mind are enough to get Alex immunity and another job elsewhere.
I feel like he should have been an attorney in another life.
Who's to say I'm not an attorney in this life? No, I'm not. I do have that itch in me. This show kind of scratches it enough. But do you have anything else on everything before? I think we've already jumped kind of in the predictions, but I think we should just do it officially, unless you have more.
No, I think
more
we should
show
do
stuff.
It.
Then let's just jump straight.
I was
on
like,
in.
Anything else I have to say is just predictions.
Yeah,
so.
We're definitely in predictions territory here. So
you want to go?
All right. Let's
break it down. It's a lot.
Let's break it down. Let's get off it and come back on it.
You think Rachel and Mike are going to have a wedding ever?
Apparently not. Apparently they were going to set a date and then they never set a date.
And then remember he's like, I'm going to make an effort. I'm going to come home for dinner and we're going to talk about this. And it's just nothing.
I think she's going to leave him in the next 3 weeks.
I don't see them lasting either at all. Like they are not even intimate. I remember on one of the episodes, I think it was JB that said it. He's like, hey, you notice that ever since, this has nothing to do with the show, but ever since Meghan Markle has been dating
Prince Harry,
that she's not, like, she never actually kisses. We're like on every other season.
That's interesting, yeah.
And it is because actually I was randomly looking back at one of the seasons back and she was always like intimate with them, kissing on him. Or it could be the fact that they're trying to show the break of their relationship. And that's why they're like little by little. They're, like, not planning the wedding anymore. They're not intimate anymore. They can't even make it to dinner, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I will tell you, though, I give Rachel props for constantly supporting Mike, even though he just continually lies to her. Omitting the truth is lying. If you're going to tell me it's not, it is.
Omitting the truth is admitting the truth, but we're not going to...
Oh, my God, you're one of those.
We're not going to have our first fight.
Can you guys tell us at home if omitting the truth is lying? Honestly, I really want to know what people think.
I think omitting...
That's a judgment basis, but I think in his case... He has lied to her so much. I mean, you just spent how many years lying about being an attorney before she found out? And then now you're going to lie about something so stupid. It's like, and she said to herself, she's like, if you're lying about so much, like, I wonder what else you're lying about now.
If I knew something super terrible that would ruin your mood, and I knew it an hour ago, is it a lie for me to not tell you until after this show? Or is it omitting the truth?
That's not the same thing, though.
It's omitting the truth.
Because it's not just, you're not just lying to me. You're having me lie to other people for you. You're getting me involved in your lie without even me knowing really what the lie is. Because remember in the beginning when Harvey was looking for her, she really didn't know why Mike was missing.
Yeah, but like let's say there was a piece of information I didn't give you an hour ago that could have helped you in this conversation right now with the chat, with Twitter, with the engineer that I didn't tell you till 10 minutes from now. Is that omitting the truth on the same level as lying because I just wanted you to have a great show? We're getting into it.
I'm not saying omitting the truth is exactly like lying. But in this case, for someone that's been a repeat offender of lying, you've never lied to me before. If you told me something after the fact, you're like, hey, Lean, I just want to tell you, like, that red lipstick looked terrible on you. I couldn't tell you before the show because it was going to ruin your mood and you're going to be self-conscious. I get it. He's repeatedly lied to her. And if it was me, and I've been around people that have lied before, that I would wonder, where does the lying stop? Like, if you lie so much about everything, what do you not lie about? Like, I feel like he just lies. He just lies to everybody. And you're only as good as your word. And that's one thing that I love about Harvey, is that he's a man of his word. And even the one time he backed out with Alex, he was like, I will never back out again. I feel like Harvey values his word. And Mike is just kind of like, he gave his word to the victims. He gave his word to the cases. He gives his word to Rachel. He gives his word to Harvey. And it's kind of like, he backs out on every single one of them. And then he goes, oh, but I gave my word to this person first, so that's the one I'm going to be loyal to. It's like, dude, so then stop giving your word. Omit. If you like to omit your damn word then. I mean,
I'm not defending Mike. I'm defending omitting. Yeah. Omitting truths on occasion.
But if you did it all the time, that's the difference.
Fair enough. Do we think Donna's going to have a significant other
ladies,
in the next three episodes?
So, ladies, if you plan on dating Steve, he likes to omit the truth. Just saying.
Why you got to put me on blast like that, though?
He likes to omit the truth. Just throwing it out there.
I don't like to.
I'm just kidding.
I don't want to.
No, I'm joking. Like, your example was different. It's something to protect somebody. His, I just feel like he's protecting kind of himself.
No, I think he's also protecting her. Do we have any thoughts on Donna maybe rekindling her relationship with Mark now that Mark's been introduced through flashback? That feels in the realm of this show.
Well, she's sitting down on the next episode and she's talking to somebody and she's saying that she's not going to prioritize Harvey. I think they're showing her character development turn from, like, not resentment, but she kind of realizes in life that she has regrets that she always prioritized them. And then I think they're going to end up together. They're setting up to go down, to come right back up. Happy life. Darby.
Fair enough. I'm sticking with Dr. Lipschitz is going to retire and or die.
That's terrible.
I agree, but
I feel like they'd have to kill him off. They're not going to have him retired. Like, I swear Lewis would follow him.
But he would retire. Maybe he'd retire and then, like, move.
Or maybe, like, a sister gets sick and he has to go back to Germany. I think he said his sister still lives in Germany.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about Alex being the way out of this incredibly sticky situation. Do we see Jessica in the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I don't think they're dropping the Jessica. It's working for them.
Oh, yeah. Do you have any predictions at large before we get out of here?
I have a feeling Jessica's going to come assist once again. She's going to come to the rescue. I don't think it's going to be in this case. I think we're going to see her in the future. What I do think is I think there's going to be a break in Mike Ross and Rachel's relationship.
I see that coming a mile away. By the way, no Dr. Agard this week. But they're lasting a long time. Paula and Harvey.
I don't like Paula and Harvey.
I like it for what it is. It's fun. It's what you think they want. It's gonna end terribly.
It is, because in the episode where she comes and she like calls him out about not telling Donna, and he's like, I've had so much going on. I've had this. And he's like, and you're giving me shit. And she's like, I didn't even bring this up. You're the one that told me you didn't tell him. She knows, like, as a woman, you know when something's up. And obviously she has deep-rooted insecurities, her past relationship, the guy cheated on her.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like she's going to start actually fixating on this Donna thing. Like, even when Harvey told her, when he's walking in the door, he's like, oh, she already knew. I think Paula knew that she didn't know.
Here's
but she's
the
acting too cool.
Here's the kindling to the fire. Donna gets back with Mark. Harvey offhandedly mentions it during dinner. Yeah, Donna's getting back with
Mark. Oh, the flip side?
Oh, Donna's getting back with Mark. That guy's an a-hole. Hold on, what? And then Paula gets into it with him, like, that Mark guy might be a completely normal, everyday, regular guy. You don't like him because you like Donna. Let's have it out. And then they have it out, and that's the kindling to the fire that is
and then imagine they break up. Harvey's finally ready to, like, profess his love for Donna, and then Donna's like, I'm not having it. You snoozed, you lose.
Something like that. Or that she gets serious enough with Mark where he has to just kind of sob through it. He just kind of has to sob through it of like, oh, man.
Do you feel like in the scene where she walks into his office and she admits that, like, she didn't know that he was with Paula, that when she's, like, giving him his apartment keys back, do you feel like she was almost, like, wanting him? I felt like she was wanting him to say something and he was like, no, it's okay, I understand.
I didn't feel that at all. No,
you don't think she was trying to open it up at all?
No, I think she was trying to move on from him. Because it's clearly she's going to move on. She's literally moving on from him to someone else. Namely this guy Mark, hopefully. So I think that was purely symbolic.
Yeah.
And that she wasn't looking for any, like, maybe there was a last ditch. Oh, maybe he'll find me. Maybe.
And she's been putting him in his place. Like, when he needs her for stuff, she's like, I'm not your assistant anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm COO. Like,
apparently Gretchen is everyone's assistant. Yeah.
She's
in
like,
this firm.
She's like, you're welcome for staying late night. Mm.
But do you have any?
She's finally putting her foot down.
Do you have any predictions at large before we get out of here?
I just really think in the next couple episodes, Rachel and Mike are going to split. I think that's going to be like the big.
Yeah, that definitely feels like episode 10.
And I feel like Harvey is going to end up firing Mike.
That feels correct, too.
Because
he's going to have to, because Mike is probably going to go behind his back like 5 more times.
He is. And I think even knowing the Alex thing, he's still going to do something. And I feel like Harvey right now does not know if he can trust Mike or not anymore.
Actually, I'm call it right now.
Okay, say it.
Harvey fires Mike. Mike comes back to Rachel. Rachel breaks up with Mike.
He's done.
Not know it. Like, Mike just goes through the ringer of terrible.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to do right.
Is he doing right?
He's not doing wrong. Like, we can get, like, the true, like, true right, true north, like, altruism is really difficult to pinpoint. He's not doing wrong. Like, he's trying.
Yes, his heart's definitely in the right place, but he's wronging a lot of people and losing their trust in the process.
Yeah, and he'll have to deal with that.
But 100% his heart's in the right place.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. That he's going to go through a ringer for it.
And Jessica, if everyone remembers, like, right before Jessica left, she kind of went through this as well, where mm-hmm. she had, like, a flashback of her dad wanting to be a doctor, because he's like, at least if you're a doctor, you're helping people. And then she had that case where she knew she was pretty much screwing people over. Mm. And that was kind of, like, why she decided to pick up and move. But, yeah, I think that Mike is going to get to that point in his career where he's, like, I'm at a crossroads. Like, is it more important for me to help people or is it more important for me to work for Harvey? And I think he's going to push his limits. He's not going to drop this, and Harvey's going to drop him.
Yeah, I think it might even be amicable of, like, you've made your choice. You've made your choice, and it's clearly
for the
little
guys. And Rachel's
like,
oh, you just got fired, or you left.
She's probably just going to break up with him for different reasons.
Yeah.
But if the people want to find you on social media, where can they?
You guys can find me at Lena Norrie all over social media.
And you guys, as always, can find me on Twitter. That's at Steve Kaufman, KAUFMANN. I do a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I tweet about them regularly. I also do my own vlog called The Sober Year. If you go to thesoberyear.com, you'll learn all about it. And it's essentially me not drinking. I just celebrated week 10 of not drinking. I won't be drinking for 52 weeks. Thank you very much.
Sober life is the better life.
So they tell me.
Hey, your skin looks better. You're going to live longer.
I'll take all those compliments.
Look up, put it on your blog, all the celebrities that don't drink anymore and why.
I'll do that work. Yeah. That'll be week 11. For Lena Norrie, I've been Steve Kaufman. Thank you and have a good night.
Thank you, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.